You know, I don't know about you, but I love the Olympics. I mean, for all the controversy over the opening ceremony in Paris, and the skill and the beauty and the power and the drive of the athletes is just amazing to me. Every night this week, our family, we've just kind of hung around in the evening and we've watched the highlights from the day. It's just been so fun. And we like the backstories too. I don't know if you followed any of that. A year ago, gymnast Suni Lee thought that she might never compete in gymnastics at any level ever again. She went to bed one night exhausted from a day in the gym. She woke up the next morning, her face and body so swollen she couldn't open her eyes. She could barely get out of bed. She gained 45 pounds in 2 weeks, that tiny little athlete. A rare kidney condition nearly ended her career, but they found just the right medication cocktail for her. It did the trick. She went through rehab and then months of conditioning. She's back on Team USA, won the gold medal in Paris. Now, Katie Ledecky of the United States proved this week that she is the greatest female swimmer of all time. She won the 1,500-meter freestyle by such a huge margin that there were no other swimmers in the picture when she touched the wall at the end of the race. This past, I guess it was just yesterday, she won her fourth consecutive 800-meter freestyle, 4 gold medals the last 4 Olympics. Now, I want you to take a look here at Chinese diver Chow Yuan, okay? I mean, you look at that guy, you think he needs a triple cheeseburger and fries. You know what I mean? He is just this skinny little guy. Now, you take a look at him, and then take a look at Joe Kovacs, who throws shot put for the United States. I am guessing that Chow is never going to throw shot put. Please tell me that we will never see Joe in a Speedo, okay? I mean, I'm just saying, please. Please. In basketball, the shortest player in the Olympics this year is Yuki from Japan, and the tallest is Victor from France. We're on a first-name basis largely because I can't pronounce their last names, okay? They are not Jones, all right? I'm guessing these two did not spend a lot of time guarding each other, but there was that moment in one of the games. Take a look at this picture. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me, right? American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson makes a fashion statement every time she steps out onto the track. And U.S. gymnast Steven Nedorashik, he is a self-proclaimed nerd who has never made a fashion statement in his life, okay? Now, both of them have become incredibly popular this week because of their ability and their likability. Now, years ago, Shaquille O'Neal played in the 96 Olympics. He is 7'1". He wears a size 22 basketball shoe. Simone Biles proved again this week she's the greatest gymnast of all time. She is 4'8". Okay, I want you to look at this picture of them together. Is that incredible or what? I pray to heaven that he never puts on a gymnastic leotard, all right? And she's never going to be a center in the WNBA. Now, here's the point of all of this. We all have different body types, right? I mean, these are Olympic athletes. These are the greatest athletes in the world. And they all look different according to the sport they play, their strength, their size, their agility, their expertise, their muscle mass. There is no one size to be an Olympic athlete. And friends, when it comes to people, there is no one perfect size for us either. We're starting this new sermon series today called Firewall. It's not about the Olympics. It's not specifically about the human body, though we're going to talk about that today. It's based on the book of Proverbs, and we're going to see what God says today concerning our physical health. The book of Proverbs is so incredibly practical. It offers wisdom for how we live. It gives us advice. There are boundaries. There are guidelines in a number of different areas. Most of these Proverbs were written by King Solomon to his son. And they are intensely practical. He wanted his son to be wise. He wanted his son to be healthy. He wanted his son to be godly. And these guidelines were given not to punish, but to protect. They weren't to hurt, they were to help. Chapter 3 of Proverbs begins this way: "My son, do not forget my teaching, But keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Just as a firewall protects a computer from harmful viruses and cyber attacks, the Proverbs of Solomon do the same thing for us. They protect what's inside. And I think these boundaries help us live better. They help us live longer. They help us live more fulfilling and productive lives. And so we're going to talk today about physical boundaries. And then in the coming weeks, we'll talk about financial boundaries and sexual boundaries, relational, vocational, spiritual boundaries. And there's just so much wisdom to be gained from this book. This coming Wednesday, I'm going to turn 60. I'm not going to lie, this one hurts a little bit. You know, I was just getting used to 50s, and then here it is. And I'm finding that the older I get, the harder it is to stay healthy. I have a doctor friend who likes to say, you know what causes that problem? Birthdays, you know. And man, I'm telling you, he's got it right. When it comes to physical health, many people go to one of two extremes, okay? There are those who are, man, they're all about physical fitness. They exercise hours every day. They count every calorie. They measure every gram of fat. They have bulging muscles and a perfect six-pack. And there's nothing wrong with that lifestyle, provided it doesn't get out of balance, that spiritual health and emotional health remain the priority. As long as family and other key relationships are not neglected, certainly our relationship with God. But let's be honest, for some people, physical fitness becomes this all-consuming passion. It's not just about being healthy, it's a desperate search for perfection. I mean, why is doping such a problem in professional sports and at the Olympics? It's because some people will go to any lengths, to enhance their bodies and boost their performance. You ever wonder why those stick-thin fashion models always look so angry on the runway? It's because they're starving to death. I mean, seriously, who's buying those clothes? Nobody looks like that. And the truth is, some people are just obsessed with their bodies. But let's be fair, other people go to the opposite extreme. They don't take care of their bodies at all. There's no attempt at any kind of physical health. There's a steady diet of junk. I heard a comedian say one time his idea of exercise was eating faster. You know, I mean, there's got to be some balance somewhere. I think between the two extremes, there's a God-honoring way that we can stay healthy to the best of our ability. Now look, this sermon may not seem very spiritual to you, okay? If you're a guest, you might be thinking, oh, this is one of those churches that doesn't care about the gospel. All they do is talk about being healthy and wealthy. It's all about appearance and fluff. I mean, look, they even have a preacher who looks like a movie star, okay? I mean, I know what you're thinking, okay? I know, I get it. But listen, I believe this is important. I know you're trying to figure out which one's Mark, which one's Opie. I know what you're doing, okay? Look, this is important because the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. The book of Psalms says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, some of us are a little more wonderful and some are a little more fearful, but God made all of us, okay? And because our bodies belong to Him, I just think we ought to do our best to take care of them. We should eat to the glory of God. We should walk or jog, exercise to the glory of God. We lift weights to the glory of God, right? We bathe our bodies to the glory of God. We sleep to the glory of God, just not right now. But we rest to honor Him. King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4:20, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they will," listen, "they will bring life to those who find them, healing to their whole body." Proverbs 3:7 says, "Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." So I want to talk about how we take care of our bodies. But before we do that, I want to just mention real quickly that our bodies really are an amazing gift from God. Psalm 139 begins, "O Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me." And then it says in verse 13, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous." King David says here that God was intentional about how we were made, how we were crafted, formed, knit together. Our bodies are amazingly complex. You are an intricately designed high-performance machine. Now, do you have a perfect body? No. All right? If I ask for a show of hands, is there anybody in here who would say they would not change anything about their bodies if they had a chance? I doubt that any hands would go up. I'm not going to ask that question because if you raise your hand, we will all hate you. Okay, in Christian love, of course, but we will hate you. The fact is, nobody has a perfect body. We just don't. But we are still amazing because of how God has woven us together. God gave us our bodies, and I believe He gave us a responsibility to take care of those bodies, to take care of this gift that He's given to us. You know, we talk often about stewardship, okay? Managing the financial resources that God has given to us. But we have a responsibility to also exercise stewardship when it comes to our health. Now look, there are many genetic, medical, glandular, metabolic reasons for health problems, weight problems. You could be incredibly fit and still get a disease, okay? And the truth is, our bodies come in all different shapes and sizes. I get that. Some of us have poor health for things that are way beyond our control. But let's be honest, we also have some say in this. And some of us mistreat our bodies, and there's bad fuel and no upkeep. Dr. Richard Swenson explained that about 200 years ago, Americans consumed an average of 2 pounds of sugar per year. Anybody want to venture a guess as to how many pounds of sugar a year Americans average today? 150 pounds of sugar a year. I mean, it's no wonder we don't have any energy. We're coming off a sugar high all the time. Proverbs 23:19 says, "My child, listen. Be wise, keep your heart on the right course. Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags." In those three verses, he warns us against drunkenness, gluttony, and laziness. Three things that bring poor health, and a lot more than that sometimes, and yet things that can be controlled. Like a high-performance engine, our bodies need proper maintenance. You've heard the old line, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, rarely is that really true. Not most of the time. If you don't want things to break, then you take care of them. You maintain them. You don't wait for your car to break down before you change the oil, replace the tires, top off the radiator fluid, do you? Well, maybe you do, but not if you want the car to last. And I think the same goes for our bodies. Instead of just fixing problems that come along, we think about preventative maintenance. And that begins, I know you're going to hate this, it begins with things like diet and exercise. Now, some people are obsessed with what they eat. I mean, they read every label, measure every portion. They have a cookie and they're depressed for 3 days. Okay, that's not healthy. All right, people can end up with eating disorders in those kind of cases. But then at the opposite extreme, our food addictions. We eat like there's no tomorrow, and there's just no self-control. And it could be caffeine, sugar, chocolate, fast food, junk food, candy, and we can get out of balance. And this is why it's important to eat a healthy, balanced diet. This is not rocket surgery, you know. Remember the preacher who was trying to lose weight, so he swore off of all desserts, sugar, chocolate. He wasn't going to have any sweets at all. And he came walking into the office one Tuesday morning, and he had a box of donuts. And his office manager said, "I thought you were going to stay away from sweets." He said, "I was, but I knew that I was going to go past the bakery, and so I prayed. And I said, Lord, if you want me to stop and get a box of donuts, let there be a parking place right in front of the bakery." He said, sure enough, on my 8th trip around the block, there it was, right there in front of the bakery. Now listen to this verse. You're going to hate it, but listen to this verse. Proverbs 23:2, put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Ouch. Proverbs 25:27, it's not good to eat too much honey. The Message paraphrase says, it's not smart to stuff yourself with sweets. Well, times haven't changed that much. 3,000 years ago, people were being told to go easy on the sweets. 1 Corinthians 10:31 in the New Testament says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That we eat and drink to the glory of God. It's not just avoiding a steady diet of junk food, you know, too much sweet tea, soft drinks, alcohol, whatever. The question, I believe, is do I honor God when I sit down at the table to eat and drink? Is God going to be honored by this? You guys remember Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in the Old Testament? They were taken into slavery and then chosen for special duty because of their good looks and their strong bodies. They were offered royal food, was much more appealing than what the slaves were given in that day. But Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in that way. And the guy was reluctant. He didn't want these guys to go downhill in their health, but he said, okay, you can do your diet, and then we'll see how things go. And it says in verse 15 of Daniel chapter 1, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine that they were given to drink, and they were given vegetables instead. This might be the real reason Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Everybody missed the choice food. I'm just kidding. We need to eat a healthy, balanced diet. And that's not easy to do in our culture today with hectic schedules and fast food. Comedian Tim Hawkins talks about how we pray before we eat, and we say things like, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our body. And what that means is, Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos and this jumbo Dr. Pepper. Change the molecular structure of this garbage I'm about to put in my mouth and nourish me. And it's like God's up in heaven saying, you know, give me a break here. It's easier changing water into wine than it is to make that meal a nourishment to your body. Maybe we ought to pray before we order instead of praying before we eat. I mean, the reality is many of us do better. And look, I'm talking to myself in all this, okay? There's all kinds of advice out there. You get on the internet, you're going to just be bombarded with when to eat, what not to eat, what to load up on, what to have in moderation, what to avoid like the plague. And I'm not a nutritionist. I don't have a month-long meal plan for you this morning. I just think probably most people who know what they're talking about suggest that our bodies need a variety of foods. Diets that eliminate a whole food group and tell you to just eat one food group, there might be some short-term benefits, but I think in the long run, that's not how we're made for lasting health. We need balance, we need moderation, we need consistency. Now, please understand that healthy does not necessarily mean skinny, okay? Our bodies are shaped differently. The weight that's ideal for us or average for us may be very different than it is for somebody else's body type. Don't let the magazine models freak you out and set up expectations that are not healthy. The reason they're on the cover of the magazine is because they look different than everybody else. They're not normal, and probably the picture's been doctored up so much, they don't really look like that either. And I think to be fair in all of this, God gave us food with flavor, and he gave you about 10,000 taste buds in your mouth. And so those two things can go together for an explosion of wonderful experience, too. Ecclesiastes 9:7 says, go ahead, eat your food with joy. Drink your wine with a happy heart. God approves of this, in moderation, of course. We do not live to eat, but we don't just eat to live either. God made it good for a reason. I'm telling you, a Haydorn's Yum Yum can be a spiritual experience once in a while, right? I'm just saying, not all the time, but once in a while. We need balance. And with balance, I mean, again, with diet, there's going to be some exercise, right? That's going to be a part of things too. Proverbs 12:14 says, hard work brings rewards. Proverbs 31 talks about the woman of noble character. It says in verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Our bodies need a certain amount of strength so we can be healthy and productive. Remember the guy that signed up for an aerobics class? The instructor said, wear loose-fitting clothes. He said, if I had loose-fitting clothes, I wouldn't be in this class. I read an article by a pastor who talked about what physical exercise. He says, the Bible doesn't say much about physical exercise. Does that mean it's not important? And he went on to explain that in Bible times, people worked hard sowing crops, herding sheep, fetching water. They walked pretty much everywhere that they went. Exercise was a way of survival. In the Bible, people had to be commanded to rest, not to exercise. But our culture today is just different. It's not that we're lazy. People work hard. It's just a different kind of work. And so we have escalators and moving sidewalks and drive-through restaurants. Many of us hire a lawn service to take care of the yard, just too busy. We spend more time watching sports on television than playing any. We circle the block 8 times looking for a parking place in front of the bakery. And people drive a half mile to the gym to work out. I mean, you know, there are ways that we could find to get more exercise than we do. I'm not an expert, again, in this either, but the Surgeon General recommends 30 minutes of moderate physical exercise every day. Walking, yard work, climbing the stairs, park in the back of the lot and walk in instead of waiting for that spot up front, walk 9 holes of golf instead of driving a cart. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes all in a row. It could just be throughout the day. There needs to be movement. I also read that according to the Maryland Heart Center, for those who are able, an additional 30 to 60 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week of really hard cardio exercise is really good for our bodies too. You don't have to be obsessive, but it takes some effort to be healthy. That's all I'm saying. Now, here's a couple of other boundaries you may not have thought of when it comes to a healthy life. Learn to manage stress. And stress is just such a health killer. Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down. Now, I failed to put this one on the screen, but Proverbs 14:17 says, listen to this, short-tempered people do foolish things. Then Proverbs 18:14, the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? Proverbs 14:30, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Maintaining health is not just about diet and exercise. We need a peaceful heart. We need to guard our thinking. When we start to worry, we need to let that remind us to pray. We practice contentment instead of impatience and a short fuse all the time. And man, I feel so guilty saying some of this stuff because I was a maniac on the road yesterday. I'm just saying. We need to pray for patience. It's a scary thing to pray for patience. It is. Because you know the only way to learn patience is to have your patience tested, right? Tried, pushed to the limit. And so maybe pray for peace. That maybe feels a little less scary. But it's important that we make conscious decisions, concerted efforts to slow down, to pace ourselves, to live life not in frantic overdrive, but at a reasonable, sustainable pace. We choose the pace that we live at, right? Maybe it's leaving the house 5 minutes earlier than you think you need to so you're not a maniac on the road. And make sure you'd mention that to your spouse if you plan to do that. Okay, I'm just a little tip. Try putting your fork down after every bite and actually chew and swallow before you pick it back up. Gosh, I really feel guilty saying that. We don't have to eat like we're a wolverine on death row. Okay, I mean, we can try to slow down just a little bit. And look, stress comes into every life no matter what you do, no matter how fast you eat, how slow you drive, driving the slow lane, all that kind of stuff. The reality is with family stress and marriage problems and job stress and how long is this sermon going to last? I mean, all kinds of things can stress us out. But we need to cultivate peace. If you, listen, if you don't deal with your stress, it will deal with you. And not in a good way. We need healthy routines, because if we don't, then we develop unhealthy habits. And that brings us to kind of a final suggestion here, and that's to avoid extremes. Proverbs 25:16 says, do you like honey? Don't eat too much or it's going to make you sick. Enjoy sweets, just don't have too much. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. If you drink too much, it's going to mess up your life. I mean, you think about it. There are things in our lives that extremes can be good. If you're a generous person, a little extreme generosity can be a good thing, right? Being extremely kind, extremely obedient. Those are the kind of things that you go above and beyond and it can be good. But there are other things in our lives, even things that are not negative things, but if we go to an extreme, we get out of balance and our lives can fall apart. Listen again to Proverbs 23:19. We read this earlier. My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags. In other words, if we aren't careful, a love for food can lead to gluttony, a love for wine can lead to alcoholism, a love for rest can lead to laziness. And these are good things, some of them in moderation, but taken to an extreme, can be harmful. And so if we want to live healthy lives, I think it begins with the physical boundaries that God has given to us. And you say, why is this such a big deal? Is it so I can have a perfectly chiseled physique? No, that's not it. Is it so I can impress my friends and intimidate my enemies? Is it to woo women? I mean, what's the point here? You know, we take care of our bodies so we can feel better, so we can cut our health costs down. I mean, those are benefits. But I really believe that taking care of our bodies honors God, that good health provides us more of an opportunity to serve God longer. Now, not always, because things happen sometimes. But if we don't have any self-control, we don't take care of our bodies, I believe that we harm our witness and we harm our ministry, our service. Physical boundaries lead to healthy choices. And healthy choices position us to live longer, to serve better, to enjoy life more fully. I believe that healthy choices increase productivity and they honor God. That's the bottom line today. I like to have a quick bottom line every week. Healthy choices increase productivity and they honor God. You know, the truth is you probably haven't heard anything today that you didn't already know. Maybe the 150 pounds of sugar a year, but you knew most everything you heard today. It's just a matter of doing it, right? It's getting motivated enough to discipline ourselves enough to strive to have better health. We train ourselves to do that. There's no shortcuts, and everything on the internet that tells you it's an easy shortcut is not telling you the truth. You know, the Apostle Paul was such a dynamic servant of God, and he said something in the book of Philippians in the New Testament. He said to live for him means living for Christ. He said, truthfully, to die is even better because then you get to go and be with Christ. He admitted, I'd rather die and be with Christ. But he said, I believe God has a purpose for me here. I got stuff to do, so I believe he's going to leave me here longer so I can do more for him. That was kind of the conclusion. He would stay on earth because he had more opportunity for ministry. I got to be honest with you. I believe we take care of ourselves so we can live productive lives. As long as we are here on earth, we can make the most of every opportunity that God gives to us. I think this is a spiritual issue. I watched an interview one time with Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of Great Britain. And the interview was recorded after he had retired. And this is what he said. Skip the picture. Just go on to that next line. He said, I wake up every day wanting to make a difference. And as I get older, I have an increased sense of urgency to do that. I'm staring 60 in the face, and I find an increased sense of urgency. I want to do things that matter. And I believe that just doing our best to stay healthy, not being obsessive about it, just taking care of ourselves, positions us to make more of a difference for God. Okay? Healthy choices increase our productivity, and I think they honor God. Let's pray. Well, Father, we've talked about some things today that maybe just kind of feel very mundane. Oh, I get hammered with this stuff everywhere I go. But Lord, I believe that we can honor you by taking care of this gift that you've given to us. And then we have people in this room who are dealing with so many hard things with their bodies, with their health. And there are so many things that are beyond our control. I just believe that the Bible teaches that we do the best we can with what we have. And we do our best with the opportunities that you give to us. And so we want to honor you with our minds, with our hearts, with our words, with our actions. But I believe also we can honor you with our bodies. And so help us to do that the best we can. And we just pray all this today in Jesus' name. Amen.